right. Glad you all survived the daylight savings time debacle and made it out this morning. If we have a few more stragglers coming in, we know why. I like those songs. Thank you, Anola and Adam, for your ministry this morning. Good job. One correction I need to make on one of those songs, though. The one song, I need you every hour, Lord, I need you. I love that song. I got to make a correction, though. I need the Lord every minute. I mean, an hour is way too long without Jesus, man. It just is. I need the Lord every minute. Yeah. In an hour, you know, an hour's time without Jesus, I'd be wandering in the carnal corral real quick, you know. So I'd be down empty rabbit trails, you know. So I need the Lord every minute. You do too. If you're a believer this morning, you need the Lord every minute. Thank you for giving me the opportunity once again to be here with you at Fairhaven. I'm looking forward to it. Last week, I shared about the ministry of encouragement. And that was a horizontal message, which means that it was a message directed horizontally to people, to help people, to encourage believers and keep them growing and to be there for them. But you just can't have horizontal preaching and teaching all the time. You need to have vertical preaching too and teaching. What I mean is you need to get in touch with God vertically. Because if you don't do that, if you don't understand and praise God and learn who He is and fall in love with Him more and follow His Word, then if you don't do that, then the horizontal doesn't have any meaning. You don't have any love behind it. It's the vertical teaching and getting a hold of God and His grace and His Word that allows us to have meaning, that pushes us into that horizontal relationship with people. If you just have horizontal preaching and no vertical teaching about God, then all you have is sentimentality. That's all it is. It's just sentimentality. You need God's grace and love behind it. So, today we're going to focus on the vertical, all right? Now, and I want to introduce my message. I'm going to be talking about prayer this morning, all right? I mentioned last week, the end of my message. This week's about prayer. We're going to understand intercessory prayer from Luke chapter 5. But before I do that, I want to show you a video. It's about a 3-minute video. I hope it comes out here. How many of you seen the Christian movie War Room? Some of you have. Great, great Christian movie by the Hendricks brothers on prayer. And this video is a 3-minute clip about a grandmother who knows how to pray. Jesus said, don't pray like the Pharisees. They go out in the open, they parade, they get out, they get a crowd, and they pray in front of all of them so that they can show people how wonderful we are. Jesus says, you get a prayer closet. You go into that prayer closet, and there you meet God. And there you take your prayer needs to Him. This movie and this lady, her prayer closet is called her war room. I hope this comes out. I want you to see this. Well, that's intercessory praying right there. A good example, isn't it? Don't you wish we could all pray like that? That's my goal this morning, is to help you understand the power of intercessory prayer. It's found in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And I'll put it here on the screen. You follow along. If you have your Bible, if you don't, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible is put up by Holman. I've learned to really like this translation. It's very literal, but it's very easy to read too. So this is how it goes. Jesus is, first of all, this is after the Sermon on the Mount. He's starting the Sermon on the Mount, and he starts with the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He gets through that prayer, and then he goes to a deeper level of praying here, in which he gives this parable. He says this, and he also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside and say, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him? Prayer is not just asking God for things. Like the man who prayed, hello, Lord, this is Jimmy. Let me tell you what to give me. That's not that kind of prayer that God really wants to hear from us. The Lord wants to answer personal needs, not selfish wants. So this is a higher level of prayer here, intercessory prayer that Jesus is giving. The Lord's Prayer is sort of, Lord, answer my personal needs. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, forgive my eye my sins. And then Jesus goes into a deeper level of prayer that's not for just personal needs. It's for others. All right? Let me say that intercessory prayer is the secret weapon of the church. It's the church's ICBM that the devil can't shoot down. It's something we can aim on anybody and make it land right on their heads, and the devil doesn't have any Patriot missiles to shoot it down. There are people who may not come to hear me preach, but they can't escape my prayers. I can pray for them anytime. I can drop a missile right on them day or night. I can hit them with a prayer plane, with an intercessory prayer. What a powerful weapon we possess, friends, in intercessory prayer. This morning I want to share with you that importance. You know, intercessory prayer, it can even be landed on somebody with delayed detonation, because the Lord Jesus prayed for me 2,000 years ago there in the garden when He prayed for believers in the future. And that missile that Jesus aimed at me exploded in 1969 when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And it keeps exploding every day of every week, every minute, every month when people come to know Jesus Christ. So often we see we have a new person come in, and maybe they're a new convert. They just came to know Jesus for the first time. And we sometimes wonder, I wonder if he'll stick. You know, maybe they would stick if we would pray for them more and stand beside them and be there with them in prayer and undergird them. The Bible says that we are Christians who are a kingdom of priests. And you're a priest in God's kingdom. Do you know that? If you're a believer this morning. And what is a priest? A priest is simply someone who intercedes for someone else. And that's part of prayer, which Jesus brings out here in this parable in Luke chapter 11. You know, it's one thing to get some fresh daily bread, but it's another thing to give that bread to someone else. And from heaven to those who are hungry. So let's learn some things this morning. I don't have it's an easy outline to follow. I don't have an insert, but I think you'll understand it. What's Jesus telling us about intercessory prayer? First of all, Jesus is saying this. He's saying that intercessory prayer is daring prayer. It's bold prayer. So let's go back, think about the parable that Jesus gave. Here's a man at midnight, people asleep. He's beating on the door. The blinds go up. The dogs are barking in the neighborhood. Neighbors are peeking out through their blinds. They're saying, "Who is that fool out there?" But he says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And in those days, you see, there were no Holiday Inns, there were no convenience stores, no 7-Elevens, no 24-hour stores they could go to get a loaf of bread. And the custom was that if a friend came to you with a need or to stay overnight, you were obligated to put him up. That was custom. So this man wasn't doing something out of the ordinary. It was something he was obligated to do as a Jewish person in those days. So he was caught shorthanded. Somehow his refrigerator was bare. There wasn't anything in the cupboards. He needed something to fulfill his obligation to feed this man. So he went to his friend, and noted it was a friend. It wasn't an enemy. It wasn't somebody he didn't know about. It wasn't somebody, a mile down the road. It was his friend. And he asked for 3 loaves. Now, it was daring, first of all, in its size. He said, "Lend me 3 loaves. Now, that might sound a lot to us, but in those days, a loaf of bread was one day's provision. So he's asking for 3 days of provision here for his friends. And what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, when you pray, pray big things. Ask for big things. So many times we pray little tiny prayers because we're afraid we're going to put God on the spot. And the Bible says this, friends, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So sometimes we insult God with these little tiny prayers. The Bible says this, God says, "Open your mouth and I will fill it wide." I guess God likes big mouth people. That would fit right in with that, I guess. How big is your God? How big do you dare to ask God for big things? So this was bold in its size. 3 loaves was big. Jesus is teaching us something here about prayer. Not only was it daring in its size, but it was daring in its steadfastness. There was more than just a light on the, a light tap on the door, or ringing the doorbell. He knocks. The friend says, "It's late. Go away. It's me. Bill, I got to have 3 loaves. Please, go away. It's late. Everyone's asleep. I can't go away. I've got to have 3 loaves of bread." And from inside, the voice says, "All right, all right, you're my friend. Here's your request." And Jesus is showing here that we should be steadfast in our prayers. Pray through. Don't just pray once and stop. Jesus is giving us a parable here, and He's saying, look, just because you pray once, keep on praying for something that you know is for someone else. And so He's saying here, it's don't give up until you get an answer. Pray through. The old timers used to say, pray through. And we don't understand that, but what they meant was just keep praying through until God comes through with an answer. Now, what do you know about that kind of praying? God encourages us to do that kind of praying. It's not being obnoxious here. Jesus taught this model of prayer. God wants us to keep interceding, asking for another person. Ask, seek, knock means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking on that prayer. God's delays are not denials. And then it's daring in its sacrifice also. It was daring in its sacrifice. Here was a man who was out at midnight. And I'm sure when he was out at midnight knocking on the door of his friends that they were probably wondering, what's he doing out there? Who is that fool? And so he was probably, it could have been easily embarrassing to him, and he could have gone back in and said, I better just stop this. Don't you imagine this man was being laughed at by the neighbors as they were looking out? Dogs barking all over, but he won't stop knocking. He won't stop asking for something for a friend. Our prayers sometimes are so melancholy and deluded and little tiny petitions, but this prayer stormed heaven. I've got to have 3 loaves. When we learn to pray like that, we'll learn that God wants to answer big prayers. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, but we shouldn't beg God like that, or we shouldn't be so blunt in that kind of a manner when we go to God in prayer. Well, friends, note the context of this prayer. This man's prayer was not out of selfishness. It was out of necessity. It's a big difference. It wasn't for him. It wasn't because he wanted something for himself. It was necessity. And of course we don't have any right, begging God for something that's selfish and useless. That rust is going to rust away and thieves come in and destroy like Jesus said or take. Jesus is showing here that we have no fear of boldly going before the gates of heaven and asking for God something over and over for something that our friend needs. So that it was daring prayer. It was bold prayer, but it was definite prayer also. He said, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. 1, 2, 3. He didn't knock on the door and say, "Hey, you got any bread?" He didn't knock on the door and say, "Hey, anything? You got anything in your refrigerator for us?" He said, "Friend, here's what I need. 1, 2, 3. I need 3 loaves. Some of us pray such general prayers that we never know if they get answered or not. They're so general. It's safe to say most of us have prayed this week for things that we don't even know if they got answered. We don't even remember them. We don't know what you prayed. If God answered your prayer, you wouldn't even remember it or know it. Some people say, "Okay, Lord, save the lost." Well, that's pretty general, isn't it? I don't know how God's going to answer that. That's a safe prayer. But we need to pray, "God, you need to save Bill. God, you need to save John. God, you need to save Jill. They're in sin. They're out in sin, and it's hurting their lives, and they're broken. And God, you've got to reach down and grab them and save them." We don't pray definite prayers because sometimes We don't want to put God on the spot. That's why. Friends, you'll never put God on the spot. He can always vindicate His name. He's bigger than that. He can always save His reputation. You don't have to worry about God's reputation. He's God. Don't be afraid to pray about specific things with Him. But we pray, "Oh Lord, save the sick and heal the sick and save the lost. If I've sinned, forgive me." Of course I've sinned. God, here's the sin I've committed this week. I've lusted in my heart. God, forgive me of that. It was specific prayer. Now, also, friends, the third thing and the last thing is it was desperate prayer also. It was desperate prayer. Why was it desperate? It was desperate because of our inescapable responsibility. This man said, this man went to his friend's door and he knocked and he said, "A friend has come to me. He's come to me." He didn't come to anybody else. "I'm responsible for this, feeding this man." And I've heard, "Not to my neighbor." He didn't come to my pastor. He came to me. I've heard people say, they come to me and they say, "Pastor, a friend has come to me. A friend, God has laid this person on my heart. And this person needs to be saved. Would you go see him and pray for him?" Friend, God expects you to have some bread to feed that man, to feed that person. Sometimes we shirk our responsibility that the Bible prescribes to us. Sometimes we're misunderstood. You see, I can't live my Christianity for you, and you can't live your Christianity for someone else. I can't win a soul for you. I can just win a soul for me that God brings to me. And so our job as teachers and leaders is not to perform your Christianity for you. I can't be your spiritual person for you. I can't do it. My job is to teach you how to do it. And this, I believe your church here can be a great church when you understand your spiritual responsibility. You have an inescapable responsibility that God put someone on your heart. You need to have the bread to feed them. You need to pray for them. You need to be alongside them. When people come to you needing their souls filled, you need to be there to feed them. God, otherwise God would have sent them to me, or God would have sent them to somebody else. You can't put that job on somebody else. I can do all I can to help you. I'll pray for you. I'll train you. I'll teach you. I'll go with me. I'll go if you won't go. But when you understand and grasp this truth, then I know that you'll start seeing people coming to know God and souls being saved. It was desperate prayer because of our inescapable responsibility. It's my responsibility when God lays someone on my heart. But also it was desperate prayer because of our inadequate resources. We don't have anything, friends, except what the Lord fills us with. You see, the bread here is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Bread's always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So what this man was saying was, "I don't have anything. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me, to give me wisdom, to know how to reach people, to know how to pray for people." Friends, and the friend here in this parable, who is the friend in this parable? Jesus tells us later on in verse 13, it's the Holy Spirit. And it's God. Friends, God supplies us with all we need to share with another person. We would be totally helpless as a church without the resources of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. What is it about this church that cannot be explained naturally by paraphernalia and programs and personalities? Someone has said, if the Holy Spirit were to suddenly leave, some churches would go on Sunday after Sunday and never know the difference. So, I would rather have a person filled with the Holy Spirit stand up and say, "I seen something than to say and mean it when he says, I've seen something, than to have a person says, I have seen, when he ain't seen nothing. So somebody has said this, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of God's highest willingness. God is willing to answer our prayers. He is not reluctant to hear from us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. He gives us the Word to help us understand His will. He fills us with His knowledge. And so, friends, when we start praying with desperation, with a definite urgence, God will start to bless us like you wouldn't believe. There's nothing He cannot do. So your challenge this week, start interceding with someone in prayer. And I believe God is willing to unlock the floodgates of heaven with blessings if we beseech Him and we learn the power of intercessory prayer. I'll give you an illustration, and then I want to close with a song, an up-to-date song. I was chaplain I was a jail chaplain in our jail there in Adrian, Michigan, was a large city, and I got to see inmates who had no religious affiliation. When a friend of mine who was the social worker there, and he was a believer in my church, he appointed me to go see people who maybe wanted to see a religious person but didn't have any religion. You know, I don't know if I'm a Catholic or a Protestant. I don't know what those are. They just say, I want to see a religious person. I'd get to see those kind of people. It was great. Blank slate to work on. It was wonderful. One particular young man, he was an African-American boy, and his name is Damien, and he was in for light drug charges or something, nothing heavy. And I got to talk with him, and I started sharing him about, you know, God can help you through this. And I started sharing with him that I was concerned about him. I wanted to help him, you know. Started to develop that horizontal relationship, but also brought in that vertical relationship, saying, hey, you know, you're going to keep being in this mess, and your friends are going to start dragging you down until you learn that there's a God who loves you and wants to be your ultimate friend. Well, Damon started to really attach to my message, you know, and I told him, we have a church. I want to be able to help you when you get out of here. You're going to be out of here soon, and you need some new friends, and you need some encouragement. I came back, shortly afterwards, and he was gone. Damien, they had released him. I didn't know, and he didn't have my address, and I didn't know where he was going to be at. I said, Lord, I got to know where Damien is. He's out there. He's going to be dragged back down by his friends who are going to offer him drugs and alcohol. And God, I promised him I'd be there for him. I started praying for Damien. I said, God, I don't know where he is. And I couldn't find him. And of course, the jail wouldn't release information. And of course, that's confidential, all that confidential stuff. They weren't going to tell me where he was going. I just knew he didn't really have a family. I said, Lord, you got to help me. Where is he? One night, and shortly after that, I was praying for him every day. And about 11 o'clock at night, I said, I got to go down to the grocery store and get something. I don't know what it was. I was hungry for something for some reason. We had a 24-hour grocery store just a few blocks away. And I would usually take my bicycle. I'd ride my bicycle down there. Hopped on my bicycle, went down to the grocery store. And out front on the curb, sitting on the curb, I saw a young man sitting there. I parked my bike and walked over. And as I was walking in, I noticed, guess who it was? It was Damien. He's sitting there on the curb at 11 o'clock at night. This goes beyond coincidence, friends. You can't schedule things like this. God intervened. I sat down beside Damien. I said, Damien, what's going on? He said, well, I don't know. I know. My friends want me to come back and be with them, and I just don't know what to do. I said, Damon, tell you what, I'm going to get you a place to stay tonight. I got him a place to stay. I said, I've got a church. Here's my church. I'm going to come make sure you're there at our church Sunday morning. And tell you what, do you play any baseball, any sports? He said, well, I played basketball, but I played baseball. I said, tell you what, we have a softball team. We need some players. Would you come out and play softball with us? He said, I'd like that. I got him on a softball team. I got him in our church. I got him a place to stay, got him away from his friends, got some new friends. And Damon gave his life to Jesus Christ only because God answered my prayer when I was saying, God, Damien needs me. It's not out of selfishness, God. It's not something for me. It's for him. He needs bread. He needs you, Lord. And God answered my prayer. That young man came to know Jesus and cleaned up his life only because the power of intercessory prayer. Friends, I'm convinced intercessory prayer works. I want us to hear a closing song. This is an upbeat song. This is closing, all right? This is going to set us on top here. You probably heard this song. It's by it's by a new group that... This is going to be upbeat, all right? Was that too wild for you? I like that. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Get down when you don't have answers. Get down on your knees and pray, friends. Oh, my goodness. How much we miss because we don't understand the power of intercessory prayer. Man, I hope that gets you praying. Thank you for letting me come and share with you this important lesson in the Christian life and in your church also, in building your church and growing your church. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to come before you and crash the gates of heaven with our prayers, and that's what you want. And you don't deny us, God. You want us to come and just beseech you with prayers for people that need to know you, God, And we need to give them bread, and it comes from you. We ask you for bread, God, that we can give to people who are lost and who are wayward and who need to come to you. God, I pray that we'd learn the power of intercessory prayer through this message and through your parable. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us this in your word. I pray that you'd apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.